Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, where we only offer good news. Ladies and gentlemen, we always think of the sunny side of life right here, and that's why we have Sandy Rios on, because she is,
Yeah.
Sandy's just right up there with Joel Osteen in terms of getting your day started and being, you know what I'm saying? Every day's Friday. You guys are laughing. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City, Kansas. So, listen, Joel Osteen's probably a great guy. I don't even know him. I just use that as a he's known for everything's positive, right?
Got a big smile.
So, Sandy's not that way.
She's got a beautiful smile, but.
She does. Sandy's a wonderful person to be around, but when we ask her on, she just lays it out there. Like it is, and I just wish she would put a more positive spin on things of the world.
She's kind of like Jeremiah.
Yes, I'm gonna start calling her Sandy Jeremiah.
That's right. Hard to get good news out of Jeremiah.
It's true.
All right. I tell you what. Next time we have Sandy on, we'll just ask her for her favorite holiday recipes. How about
She's got some. We know this.
Yes. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll invite her on, like we always do, about every couple of weeks, and we'll just spring it on her. And you think? That way she can't talk about the end of the world.
She'll get to the end of the world.
she'll say, and as you prepare for doomsday, make sure make your pumpkin spice pie this way.
That's exactly right.
We haven't done this with Sandy for a long time, but she's got a beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah.
She's got an absolutely beautiful voice.
It's a classical. Her voice, I've heard her, it's like Barbara Streisand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about her voice. Yeah. It's that
beautiful singer. Yeah. Beautiful singer.
All right, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Yo.
Is with us. Good morning, Steve.
I hope her politics isn't like Barbara Streisand.
No, oh no. They're 180 degree difference.
I would think.
But I'm talking about her. Sandy was a professional singer in the 70s and I don't know how much of the 80s, but she has a CD which is we've listened to 1,000 times, my wife and I, of worship and praise music.
Yes,
that she sang. All right, Steve.
Hey,
good morning to you.
Good morning.
What you been working on back there?
Well,
your boss Fred here wants to know.
I did an 11 o'clock newscast.
Yeah, well,
got the updated figures for this mass shooting. So as of right now, they still this guy's still on the loose. They still have a manhunt on, and they're still. Hiding in place or sheltering in place in about three different communities in Maine.
No sign of this guy.
They don't know where he is. Now he's military trained. He's a trained shooting instructor, so he knew what he was doing with his gun.
Let me tell you something. I don't know when these kinds of things play out often. One of two things happens. The person usually commits suicide, but it's usually on site. You know what I'm saying? It's usually on site. If he's going to run from the cops, I don't think he's going to run from the cops just to go shoot himself in the head.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What would be the purpose of that? Yeah. So my guess is they're thinking he's still at large.
Yeah.
And given the vast wilderness there, the forest, as Ray, as you said, I bet he's out there in a bunker somewhere, you know, a cabin somewhere, I don't know, but he's hiding.
He gets up there into Caribou,
Maine. Maybe he's going to Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Caribou, Maine, and on up into Canada, yeah.
I mean, there's all kind of places you could go never to be discovered, right?
Northern Maine. That's all it would take.
Yeah.
You get up there.
Now, you may die from starvation in the middle of the winter, but anyway. So, they, to your point, the police are giving updates every few hours,
yep.
and there's nothing new to report.
And they're keeping a lot of the information close to the vest, I think, as they will do in these kind of situations. Numbers are always fluid.
What if he's monitoring
right.
what the media is saying about the police?
Right, right. And
they don't want to say we're searching for him in such and such an area, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they tend to be very sparse with the information they give out. And it tends to change. For all morning, we thought 22 had been killed, and it turns out now officially it's 18. Doesn't make it any better.
But a lot were shot and injured.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, still a lot of people.
All right. All right, next story.
All right. Well, we have a congressman from New York who has turned himself in to the police. This is Jamal Bowman, congressman from New York, and he was charged with pulling a fire alarm. There was a vote that was going on September 30th.
I remember that.
It was a funding vote.
Yeah.
And the fire alarm goes off.
Yeah. Poor fella just got confused, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't know what he was doing. He's just trying to get to the – he thought it opened a door, I think he said.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, it turns out no. So he has pleaded guilty in a D.C. Superior Court. And I want you to hear what he has to say about it. And then we're going to hear from fellow New Yorker Republican Mike Lawler on what he thinks about this. So let's listen to cut 9.
As I said from the beginning, I was not trying to disrupt any, you know, official government proceedings. So I'm glad, you know, the investigation found that that was the case. The misdemeanor charge of pulling the alarm, I admitted that from the very beginning. So, you know, gotta take responsibility for it. You know, we have a deal in place, so looking forward to paying a fine and 3 months later it being dismissed and hopefully continuing to do work in my district.
Look, I mean, the video is pretty clear that he, you know, tore the signs down and pulled the alarm and walked past multiple law enforcement officers without saying, hey, I made a mistake. Right. I accidentally pulled the alarm. He obviously did it to stall and create chaos. That's what he is. He's a chaos agent.
Like a get smart chaos agent, Ray, you think?
Listen,
he knew what he was doing, Steve, right? He knew. We all know that. Well, even he says it in his voice. He got a deal, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And got to pay a fine, right? And in 3 months, it all goes away.
For those who don't remember, he's a Democrat congressman from New York. And a few weeks ago, there was a vote coming up on the House floor in D.C. at the Capitol. And he was he pulled the fire alarm so that the vote was being disrupted. And am I right?
It was an ominous.
The accusation, which seems to line up with the facts. And he said, "Oh no, I just made a mistake. I was trying to get in a door. A door. Okay, that's that even."
When's the last time you saw a fire alarm that looked like a door latch?
I know. It says fire alarm. It's red. You pull it. That's just a bold-faced lie right there.
And Fred, this wasn't.
Is it a bald face or a bold face?
Bold face.
Yes.
I think.
Okay. Well, I've heard it both ways. Can you do both? Can you tell both a bald face and a bold face lie?
If you don't have any mustache or beard, you can tell a bald face lie.
By the way, he's also a member of the squad.
Yes.
Even though he's a male?
Yes.
Or he identifies as a male, I guess, right now. He is a member of the squad?
He's a member of the squad, yes.
And, you know, Fred, this is not Congressman Lawler's first interaction with Mr. Bowman, is it?
No, it's not. They shared an airplane ride the other day.
Yeah.
Sat beside each other.
Listen to cut 10.
I was flying home to Westchester last week. And he happened to sit down next to me in the same row, and I looked at him and I said, "Well, thank God we're not sitting in the exit row, because Lord knows what he would have done."
Oh, that's good. That's clever.
But you know what? In all seriousness, it's a funny story to talk about. But when you pull a fire alarm in a building like the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
and you cause people to panic and do all sorts of things, people could have got injured. People think there's a fire. People think that nobody's going to pull a fire alarm in the Capitol just for whatever kicks. So that's a very serious. So that's a crime.
Yes.
It's like going in a crowded theater and yelling fire. You know, like you make people panic and run, and people can hurt themselves in that way, and they do things. So that's what he was charged with a crime, and he's confessing to it, right?
A misdemeanor. He's sticking with the I didn't know what I was doing, but I did pull the alarm.
Well, you know what? If you don't know what you're doing when you're pulling a fire alarm that says fire alarm and it's red, you need to go home because you're worse off than Biden.
Yes.
If you expect us to believe that whopper.
And here's the other thing. I'll make a prediction.
Yeah.
I don't think CNN will cover this story.
Oh, really?
No. The Associated Press, as of when I came into the studio about an hour ago, had not mentioned this story. Fox is talking about it. A few other people. But, if this was a Republican who did this, you know, for...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, they'd be all over it.
We'd have a...
Calling for his resignation.
We'd have an October 15th commission.
That's right. Fire alarm commission.
Right.
Yes.
All right. So that's funny. So the Republican who was sitting next to him on the plane, they were both going to New York City because he set up in Westchester, so they're flying home. Mm-hmm. And he's worried about making fun of the fact that this bowman might go over there and pull.
As if you've seen those exit row things, it's red. It says don't pull. I mean, it looks an awful lot like a fire alarm.
It was a door, sir, but you weren't supposed to jump out of it at 30,000 feet. All right, go ahead, Steve.
All right, let's talk about some of the media coverage we have. I know you guys talked about Representative Johnson, who's the new Speaker of the House, and he is a Christian, and it looks like we're going to have some sanity there, but the mainstream media is having none of it. I want you to listen to some of these headlines for on the appointment of Mike Johnson. This is the New Republic. Well, we have a speaker. He's an election denier and an extreme Christian fundamentalist. Says Mother Jones, Mike Johnson helped engineer Trump's coup. Then Democrats helped make him speaker, not sparing the Democrats. Vanity Fair, Mike Johnson tried to help Donald Trump steal an election. He's now Speaker of the House. So they don't like him very much, and they're letting their bias come through.
I don't even think you can call it bias anymore. It's just that they're just on team progressive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got another example of it too. This isn't with regard to Johnson, but this is NBC. NBC put up there's a story about a guy who died. And the story that NBC put up, they had a tweet that the headline was, "A mother reports her son missing in March. Police kept the truth from her for months." And then the little description down below the picture, "A Mississippi mother's search for her adult son ended when she discovered an off-duty officer had run him over and, without telling her, buried him with other unclaimed bodies." Well, that sounds
so. That's the NBC story.
That's NBC story. That's a pretty dire. You know, it's because he's black, of course. NBC says, and they don't treat black people like humans. They're going to bury him. Well, here's the truth. His name was Dexter Wade. He was 37 years old. Had children of his own. He was a convicted criminal with sentences for auto theft and armed robbery. And for some reason, on March 5th, 2023, he was high on PCP and decided to walk across a highway. And an off-duty officer did strike him and killed him. He was drug tested, the officer was, and found sober and cleared of any crime. Wade had no ID on him. So they had to go through, and they found a prescription bottle with his name on it. So they finally found out who he was, and they called his mother, the mother that says that she found him missing, and left a message on the phone. Now, she either didn't get it or didn't care to admit that she got it. So the mother left a voice message on the phone, and then the body was taken, and they the people that claim the body, they're at a different place in the police department than the people who identified him. So they didn't communicate real well. And they did bury this guy in a missing person's grave. But they didn't do it on purpose. And NBC, with just a little checking, probably could have gotten a better read on that story. Just this is our media these days.
Yeah, we just see this all the time for particular stories. They already have a spin that they want to put on the story, and that's the way they're going to go with it.
Yep.
You know, so what grade would they get in journalism school for handling a story like that, Steve? You know,
well, I'll tell you what, Ray, they get an A.
They would they get,
today's journalism school. They would get an A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where journalism is taught to go these days.
Yes.
Go ahead. So we've been hearing about this Hamas raid and how it surprised everybody. The U.S. intelligence and Israeli intelligence really didn't know much about it. We're finding out a little bit how. It seems that we have our intelligence agencies have gone high tech, and they're monitoring every kind of social media and radio and every kind of communication that they can find, and they got spies inside. Well, Hamas used regular landlines that they had buried underground and face-to-face meetings. That's all that they did, and they kept this invasion, this attack within their military wing. They didn't talk about it with their political wing. The political wing is where all the Israeli informers are. So that's why they had no idea that it was coming, because they went low tech.
That's kind of interesting. Remember what Sandy told us just a few moments ago?
Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of Iranians inside the Biden administration.
And Iranian spies is what she said.
Iranian spies. And we do know that Iran was very much involved in training the Hamas terrorists, who carried out the massacre on October the 7th. The Iranians were behind, because we have now seen videos of these Hamas terrorists practicing in a kind of city or community environments, and that Iran was their teacher. So what Sandy was proposing, perhaps these Iranian spies within perhaps the State Department or wherever they're working, let the Iranians know. And I tell you what, we are in desperate need right now. You add all of this up, and we've talked about this before, of probably there are Islamic terrorists who have crossed our southern border. They're here now. And the United States, as Sandy pointed out, had better be on alert. Americans have better be on alert, because we have a lot of bad characters. The Chinese sending people in here. Somebody said at least 1,000 or so from the Chinese government had crossed our border. We had better be on alert in these days ahead.
Ray?
You know, you don't want to be apocalyptic, sound like Sandy, but we are living in apocalyptic times, guys, because of the mullahs over there in Iran. They have do they have nuclear weapons there or not? It's not really totally clear in my mind whether they do, but I think if they do, Fred, they'll use them.
Yes.
At some point, they wouldn't hesitate to use them. So we are living, in the on the eve of destruction. To throw back to that song from the 60s. It's very dangerous times, made much worse because of the situation on the southern border that has allowed this long string of bad actors to come into our country.
Yeah, and as we've said before, Iran is probably the number one problem in the world right now.
Yeah.
Because with China and with Russia and with most other power players in the world, you can reason with them, you can negotiate, you can talk to them, you can do trade deals, you can, I don't know, you can have power to say, if you use this, we'll blow you off the face of the map, so to speak. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if you're dealing with somebody has is driven by a religious ideology, they don't care so much, as much typically, about we see this with religious cults down through history, right? Mm-hmm. They just care because they think they're driven by their whatever they think God or God a God is telling them to do. And in the case of the mullahs in Iran, they're Islamic Shia fundamentalists, and they think they're ushering in the end of the world, and they're making Allah happy by what they're doing, because Allah wants to eradicate the unbelievers or the infidels. Well, who are they? Well, they're the Jews and the Christians, basically. Mm-hmm. They're the, and where is that? Well, the little Satans in Israel and the great Satans in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so... until that changes, until you get rid of that ideology, we're always going to have this threat.
Yes.
And it's even worse because these people are in control of a country, and that country is building, to raise question about whether they have it or not, building, they want to build nuclear weapons. Well, why would you want that? In case they want to use them.
Yes.
So, it's, as Ray said, very dangerous time we live in.
Mitch McConnell the other day gave a very somber assessment.
Yeah.
And he said there is an axis of evil out there, China, Russia, and Iran right now. They're all bad actors. And China is out to become the world superpower. And Russia is right there with them. The Iranians are supplying Russia with ammunition in their fight against the Ukrainians.
Who is?
Iran.
Oh.
Yes. And then China is, you know, China is trying to play the nice guy on the world stage. You know, we just want to participate with everybody else. But everybody knows China's up to no good in so many areas, it's not funny.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, we the U.S., we're tied. We're what they say, joined at the hip.
Yeah.
With China.
Economically, yeah.
Economically. Because mm-hmm. we can't make it without them, and they can't make it without us. Yep. They make it, and we buy it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you want to boil it down,
mm-hmm.
China and the U.S. right now. All right. Well, Ray, thank you for being on with us today, brother. Are you traveling anymore, or is that it?
Next weekend, last big trip of the year up to Cannon Beach, Oregon.
Oh, okay. I love that place.
Yes. Beautiful.
So you'll be on the show tomorrow? I mean, you'll be on the show Tuesday?
Absolutely. God willing.
Okay. How far is that from Crater Lake?
I don't know. Steve, help me out.
It's not.
I've never been to Crater Lake.
Crater Lake is more south than Cannon Beach, I believe. I'll look. But
well, I want to go to Cannon Beach, but I've got this obsession. Go to Crater Lake.
It would be cool.
You heard of it, right?
100%. Seen the pictures. Fantastic.
Look at the pictures of Crater Lake. It was caused by a big. They think it was caused by a big meteor, I think, that hit mm-hmm. the.
Made the crater, right?
Yeah.
It's 5 hours.
From Crater Lake to.
From Crater Lake to Cannon Beach. Cannon Beach is right south of Portland, and Crater Lake is down by the California border. Closer to.
So your chances of being carjacked are better in Cannon Beach.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Right, Crater Lake.
That's probably true.
In Portland. That's closer you are to Portland. Okay. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Well, thanks to Fred and Steve and Brent and Sandy and Chris. Thank you for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow with Trivia Friday.